just find some slight variations. So as you read Psalm 15, if you did not know that parallelism is a common element of Hebrew poetry, then you might wonder if this guy just likes to repeat himself. When in fact, David is purposefully here repeating himself to emphasize important themes of this psalm. So, with that said, and understanding that about the structure, let's start looking at the first part of this psalm, the question. In verse 1, David uses parallelism to ask a very important question. Now, this is not two different questions. It's just one question repeated with a little variation, again, in order to emphasize the importance of this question being asked. So what is the question that David asks in this psalm? Now, as we study through the Psalms, we've seen two prominent questions asked by David. He's asked the question, why? We saw that in Psalm 2 and in Psalm 10 specifically. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Often as we deal with the reality of this life, we wonder, why does this happen? The question that people have asked for generations is, why do bad things happen to good people? We're constantly, in response to life, asking the question, why? We bring our why questions to God. God invites us to do that. The second question that's prominent here in the Psalms is, how long? We've seen that in Psalm 4, Psalm 6, and Psalm 13, and we really focused in on that question in the series on lament that we did toward the end of 2020. And so we've seen these questions asked, why, how long? But in Psalm 15, a different question is asked. The question of this psalm is who? Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? And who may live on your holy mountain? And you'll notice here that David directs his question to God. He says, opinion on the matter. Instead, he asks the Lord to reveal to him the kind of person who dwells in your sacred tent and who lives on your holy mountain. Again, this is just two ways of asking the exact same question. Who is the one who lives in your presence? What does this person look like? Help me to know this person who lives daily in your presence. Help me to know who this person is and what this person looks like. Both the tabernacle and the temple represent for this time what being in the presence of God. And the verbs dwell and live are present participles, meaning that the question David wants the Lord to answer is, who is this one who daily and consistently lives in the presence of God? What does this person look like? And before I move on to the answer found in the next several verses, allow me just to stop here and preach just for a moment. This is such a good question. In fact, I think this really is the question that we all should want to know the answer to. As we begin a new year together, may we all follow the lead of David, this man after God's own heart, and ask this question of our lives. We learn from the writings of David that it's his deepest desire, it's the longing of his heart to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, it's the deepest desire of David's heart to be in the presence of God, to be in a daily relationship with the Lord. In Psalm 27:4, David writes, "The one thing I ask of the Lord. The one thing I seek the most is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The final line of his most famous psalm, Psalm 23, is surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so this is the question for David. This is the question for the one whose heart was after God's own heart. He wanted to know, who is the one who dwells in the presence of the Lord? What does this person look like? He aspired to be that person. He wanted to know the answer to that question because that's what he wanted so much for his life. So this is a very important question to David. Yet, what I have discovered is that many people want to ask the Lord about entering into his presence. They want that question answered. How do I enter into the presence of the Lord? But only a few people want to ask about living in his presence. People want to know how to enter into his presence. But the same kind of enthusiasm we find with that question isn't also found with this question about what does it mean to live in the presence of God. Let me say that another way. I've met many people who want to make sure they're in the book of life without being overly concerned if the book of life is in them. And so let me encourage us as a church family this morning at the beginning of this new year to ask the question that David asked in this psalm of your life. You know, I've thought a lot this week about how much just the presence of a little tiny puppy dog in our life has changed the way we do things as a family. It's really quite unbelievable. How much more then should the presence of our God in our lives change the way we do things? It should change the way we do everything. Living in the presence of God should transform who we are and change the way that we live our lives. And so with this same longing of David's heart, with this same desire of David's heart to dwell in the presence of God all of our lives, let's ask this question that David asks here. Who is the one who dwells in the presence of God? Help us to understand what that person looks like. That's what we want. That's what we desire. So help us to know what that person looks like. And so I think the second part of this psalm, verses 2 through 5a, is the answer the Lord gives to David. And what we find in these verses is that the answer to this question comes in the form of a portrait. There are six of these parallel lines that I talked about earlier, each one introducing a characteristic of one who dwells in the presence of God. This is what one who dwells daily, who lives in the presence of God, this is what they look like. So I just want to summarize these six characteristics and then bring this message to a conclusion. But before we summarize them, there's two things I want to point out to you about these characteristics. And I really think these are important as we think about them. Number one, this is not an exhaustive list for you to go through and check off. But it's a portrait of a person for you to study and reflect upon. Just as if you were to walk into an art museum and gaze upon a beautiful painting and become mesmerized by its colors and detail. This is a portrait for us to gaze upon, for us to reflect upon. It's not a to-do list. And then second, these are qualities of the one who dwells in the presence of God, not qualifications. And I think that's a really important difference to make. It's a really important distinction. One of my favorite Old Testament commentators, I don't know if there's anybody out there that enjoys reading Old Testament commentaries, but this guy, if you find one written by this guy, grab it. His name's Derek Kidner. But he's written many commentaries from the Old Testament. And here's what he says about this psalm. He says, the question of verse 1 speaks of dwelling rather than gaining admission. Therefore, the qualities of this psalm are those that God creates in a man, not those that he finds in a man. And I think that's a very important distinction to make. I think it's helpful for us to think of these as qualities that God creates in us as we live in his presence. Not qualifications for us in order to be in his presence. You see, we have to spend time in his presence for God and in the presence of God in order to be changed into this kind of person who lives in the presence of God. You see, that word live means to take up permanent residence. And it's only as we spend time in the presence of God, it's only as we learn to take up permanent residence in his presence that we become people, that we're transformed into people who feel at home in his presence. And so who is the one who takes up permanent residence in the presence of God? Who is the one who lives daily in his presence? Let me go through these six qualities, these six characteristics that we find here in this psalm as we look at this portrait, as we gaze upon its beauty, as we reflect upon it and allow it to change who we are. First, one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of high character. The parallel lines that I use for that is verse 2. David writes, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is right. The word blameless here does not mean sinless. It has to do with wholeness. In fact, it's the Hebrew word for integrity. There's a word that we use quite a bit around our house. It's integris. And that would be a more literal translation of this Hebrew word. He whose walk is integris. It literally means whole and complete. A person of integrity is one who has integrated the presence of God into every part of their life. The English word integrity derives from the Latin word integer, which means whole. It's complete in math, and integer is a whole number. It means that you're a whole person, that you're the same person on the inside that you are on the outside, that you're the same person in public that you are behind closed doors. I've always told my kids this. I said, how you treat your siblings is who you really are. Because we'll put on a good front out in public. We'll put our best foot forward when we're hanging out with our friends. And then we show our true selves in the privacy of our own homes. But that's being a person who lacks integrity. That's being a person who's not whole. You're not being sane. You're acting one way here and another way here. And that's what this word points to. A person who dwells in the presence of God is a person of integrity. It's a person who is whole. A person who does right in every circumstance. Not just here and here, but I'll cheat a little bit here. In every integrated. The presence of God is integrated all throughout. We're the same person in all situations. I'm the same person here in this pulpit that I am in my home. Ask my children. I'm the same person here in this pulpit that I am at work. That's who we're aspiring to be. That's this portrait of this person living in the presence of God, where the presence of God integrates into every aspect of our life. So that we're the same everywhere. So that's this first characteristic. It's this first quality is a high character. It's got to begin with character. Because who we are here determines what we do and say. Jesus teaches that our character, who we are here, determines both our conduct and our conversation. In Luke chapter 6, 43 and 45, Jesus teaches that every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A tree can be recognized by its fruit. And so, our character, who we are here, determines our conduct, what we do outside of our bodies. We can look at our conduct and know our character. Jesus also goes on there to teach in Luke chapter 6, that our character determines our conversation. He says, out of the overflow of our heart, our mouth speaks. So again, depending on who we are here, that's going to determine what comes out of our mouth here. So it has to start with character. It has to start with who we are, because that determines what we do and what we say. And so one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of high character. Number two. One who dwells in the presence of God is a person of truthful speech. Who speaks the truth from his heart, it's the end of verse 2, and has no slander on his tongue. Now, this is a contrasting parallel. The first line tells what he does, and the second line tells what he does not. What this person says is one with who he is. He doesn't just talk the talk, but he walks the walk first, and then he talks the talk. And he does not slander. Interestingly, this Hebrew word for slander comes from the word for foot. And so the sense here is someone who goes about on foot from place to place, spreading gossip about others. And the one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of truthful speech. They speak the truth from their heart, out of the overflow of their heart. Truth is spoken, and they have no slander on their tongue. They do not go about foot to foot spreading lies. Number three, one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of loving behavior. In verse 3, he's one who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. And so you see the emphasis there on neighbor and fellow man. Prophets of the Old Testament attempted to teach the people of Israel to shift their focus from their ritual performance to ethical behavior. And that's the shift here that David's wanting to happen. That's the shift that David sees in this one who dwells in the presence of God, is there's a shift from ritual performance to ethical behavior. In everything this person does, they first consider their neighbor. How is this going to affect my fellow man? How is this going to affect my neighbor? And so, the one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of loving behavior. Number four, one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of moral discernment. A person of moral discernment. Verse 4, who despises a vile man, but honors those who fear the Lord. Now, I think this language sounds a little strange to us, perhaps, but it's simply a general statement about being able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. You can look out into the world and see that the action that that person is doing is wrong, and the action that that person is doing is right. Unfortunately, in our society, morality is no longer black and white, but gray. Yet one who dwells in the presence of God is able to distinguish between right and wrong. They're a person of moral discernment. Number five, one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of sincere faith. They are one, in verse 4, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. That's a great line. You know, one of my favorite Mother Teresa quotes is, we're not here on earth to be successful, we're here to be faithful. I love that line. And that's what we see in this one who dwells in the presence of God, is a person of sincere faith. A person that's here to be faithful, even when it hurts. You know, faith is easy when life is easy. But the one who dwells in the presence of God is faithful even when it hurts. And then sixth, the last characteristic, one who dwells in the presence of God is a person of compassionate action. It's one who lends his money without interest and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Now, this teaching is not against charging interest in general, but in ancient times, people didn't borrow money from others unless they were desperate. And so charging interest would only make their matter worse. And so one who dwells in the presence of God is one who never takes advantage of other situations and always puts people before money. And so, this is the answer that David receives from the Lord. Who is this person who dwells in the presence of God? It's a person of high character, truthful speech, loving behavior, moral discernment, sincere faith, and compassionate action. It's a portrait of one who dwells in the presence of God. Perhaps you have watched an artist with his paintbrush add color and texture to a canvas. And it's not until they're finished with their work that you can see what it is they've been painting all along. Same is true with this psalm. As the psalmist, as David concludes with this portrait, we stand back and we look at it and we gaze upon it and we clearly see that the answer to the who question of verse 1 is Jesus. The one who dwells in the presence of God is Jesus. The one who so comfortably makes his home in the presence of God is Jesus. The only appropriate response to the who question of Psalm 15:1 is Jesus. In a life with Jesus, transforms us into the person that we see in this portrait. When, as we spend time daily in the presence of God, as we spend time daily in His Word, when we spend time daily living with Jesus Christ, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see less and less of our reflection and more of this portrait. In the final part of this psalm, David gives a concluding word of assurance. He says, "He who does these things will never be shaken." This is such strong language in the Hebrew. It's really emphasized. He shall not be moved ever. It's not possible. It's immovable. And that's so assuring to us because we live in a very unstable world. If you don't think that, then you've not been paying attention. This past year and this past week has shown us just how unstable our society is. Economically, politically, socially. We're a people who desperately need a sense of stability as everything shakes around us. What David assures us here at the end of this psalm is that this kind of stability that we seek can only be found in one place. Don't go looking for it anywhere else. Don't look for it in your country. Don't look for it in your government. Don't look for it in your home. Don't look for it in your money. Don't look for it in your relationships. There's only one place that this kind of stability can be found. We find this stability in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's only in Christ that we find a permanent residence in the presence of God. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this psalm. We're thankful for the poetry of the Old Testament. We're thankful for the beauty of it. We're thankful for this portrait of this one here who dwells in the presence of God, who can only be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We can only see in this portrait Christ. And as we gaze upon it, may we be changed. Thank you for the beauty of your Son. It's His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.